Well, I thought it'd be nice to hear a little bit more from Tim, seeing as he's going to be speaking today. So, Tim, do you want to come up to the front?
Yeah, you're scaring me. Where do I
go? Just behind there.
Just behind there.
Just then, hello, everybody.
Sorry, that's not your script, I'm afraid. Brilliant. Well, some of you will remember Tim was here exactly a year ago.
Was it really?
Yeah, exactly a year ago. Speaking to us. And he did so badly on that passage of Romans 8 that we got him back to do it again, see if he can do it better. Is that right?
Yeah. I can't even remember what I did that day.
No, it was different. I checked the points.
I do remember, though, that I missed the same turning off the road and went on exactly the same rat run around Preston to find you.
It does happen.
I got lost
it does happen.
Same loss.
Yeah. If you come off at Junction 29 particularly, it's easily done, certainly. Brilliant. So Tim, just share a little bit about you, your family, and all the rest of it.
All the rest of it? That's a bit...
Well, okay. You and your family, let's
start
with that.
So, I live in Winsford, which is in mid-Cheshire. So, I think it took me about an hour, something like that. And I'm married to Beth. We've just had our 30th wedding anniversary.
Woo! Congratulations.
So we did a little holiday to celebrate that, which was fun. And we have three children. We have Ruth, who is 20. This is where it gets tricky, you see.
Just say she's married, and then you get
she's
out of the
married,
ocean.
Yeah. She got married last August, and they live in London. And then we have two sons, Sam, who is 21, and Tom, who is 18. And we're really delighted and thankful to the Lord. Ruth is a keen Christian. The boys at the moment aren't, so we just pray for them. You go through these things. Last night they both stayed at their girlfriend's houses. We grieve for that every time they do that. But we have great relationships with them. We get on well. And they come to church and we talk about stuff. And we're just leaving it with the Lord and we pray for them. So, you know, maybe you're going through those things as well. Don't give up. Keep persevering.
And what do you love doing in your spare time, free time?
Most of my hobbies are also Romans 8 suffering. So I'm a great Norwich City supporter, which is great fun, but involves elements of suffering.
You'll bounce back straight back up again.
And running, which again, I do a lot of, but I don't really enjoy. I've been running this morning. I never enjoy it. Do you enjoy running?
Sometimes.
I've been for like 1,500 runs in the last like 10 years. I've never enjoyed one of them. But why do we keep doing it? I like it at the end. So I do that. I love just meeting up with people, friends, going to the pub, eating food, having curries. I love watching cricket. I love watching golf. Yeah, loads of things. I have loads of far too many hobbies. I like reading. I love history. I love reading sort of social history. I like more than sort of military history. Or I like politics. Not particularly.
You really
political.
Do like suffering,
I'm not
don't
political.
You?
Anyway, yes, but loads of things. I love loads of things. I'm interested in loads of things, but people particularly.
And just tell us a little bit about when and how you became a Christian.
So my lovely parents, Christians. My dad died 10 years ago, and they prayed for. I was the eldest of four. They prayed for all of us from the day they knew that we'd been conceived, that we would be Christian. And I became a Christian at 14 at a summer camp on the south coast of England. In fact, all my three siblings were converted there as well. So we're all Christians, although lots of life struggles that I won't go into now with my siblings, marriage breakups and all kinds of things. So that's sad. But they all kind of profess faith and are around churches in various parts of the country. So I became a Christian at 14. I was a really, really, I mean, seriously rebellious teenager. I don't know whether you know that. I mean, were you rebellious? You probably weren't, were you? Very nice boy. He's a very nice boy, isn't he, James? I was a really bad teenager. And if I hadn't had godly, loving parents and hadn't gone to a good school, I probably would have ended up in trouble. In a bigger way, but I ended up in the police instead when I was about
wonderful
eight.
Irony.
I know.
What does that say something about the police?
The stuff I did as a teenager, I didn't get caught, so I never got a criminal record. So I was able to join the police at 18, and then I became a Christian, and it was a talk at the summer camp. I remember it really well. Just talk about sin and the cross. And I'd heard it countless times from my parents. You know, that they were pretty full-on as Christians, my parents. And as a really rebellious teenager, that kind of pushed me away. Because whatever my parents believed, automatically for me, must be rubbish, because they're my parents. And I'm a teenager. That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? And I did that to the nth degree. I spoke to my mum on the way here, actually, so we still get on well. That was it, though, 14. But it was a rocky journey through those teenage years until I started going to a church in London when I was in the police, where the Bible was taught faithfully week after week. And I have to say, as a sort of 18, 19-year-old, my life was utterly unhinged by hearing the Bible taught faithfully week after week after week. And it's a journey, isn't it? But I first professed faith for myself when I was 14.
And so how did you get from being in the police to being a vicar in Cheshire?
It's another story, isn't it? Well, I was at this church in London. I got involved in sort of leading various things, home group, and we did a mission in the late 1980s, John Chapman mission. I got involved in leading a group for new Christians. There was a good curate there, a guy called Steve Wookie, you probably know him. Mm. He got a group of us together who he thought should think about what we were going to do with our lives. And we just all ended up going to Bible college and as vicars, ministers in various parts of the country. So, yeah, it was being encouraged from in our local church to think through, okay, is this something you should think about for the future? I mean, if you told me at the age of 15 I'd be a vicar, I'd just would have spat in your face. I mean, it was ridiculous. They were a ridiculous idea. that was it. It was that church. It was the encouragement of the ministry, and also I think being in the police, having grown up in a Christian family, I think I thought everybody must have known about Jesus. Going to working in East London in a police station with loads of people who knew absolutely, I mean, this is like the late 80s, so it's got worse, hasn't it? And being in a group of people who knew absolutely nothing at all about Jesus. And I was like really keen as a Christian, 18, 19, 20 years old, thinking, these guys know nothing at all. Someone's got to tell them. It's Romans 10 stuff, isn't it? Someone's got to tell them about Jesus. I want to spend my life, as we all do as Christians, but I want to spend my life doing something a bit different. So that was kind of, again, it was a bit of a journey. There wasn't a light bulb dream in the night or anything. But
that's right. I think it's for very few of us, probably. Yeah. Folk here might not know much about Winsford. Maybe they think, maybe that's where millionaire footballers live and things like that, in leafy Cheshire, possibly.
Just
share a little bit. You've told me lots about your church and your parish.
Winsford is one of the parts of Cheshire that is embarrassing to those parts of Cheshire that you're mentioning. It's kind of Ellesmere Port, isn't there? Crewe, Winsford.
Armpit of the M56.
We're in between armpit. That's not really. We're in between the things.
That's how I heard it described. Right?
We're in between Middlewich and Northwich, just off the M6. So it's a Liverpool overspill town from the 1960s. There's four or five big council estates, Liverpool and Manchester overspill town. Post-war kind of housing things. Our church is chaotic, really. In terms of, we've got loads of people who've become Christians in the last sort of decade from no Christian background at all in their sort of 20s, 30s, 40s. And because of the kind of culture we've grown up in, you come with huge mess, don't you? Massive, massive mess. And so we've got, just that. Social chaos, family chaos, but a real desire to be Christian. And always new people turning up. And sometimes people who are people are difficult, aren't they? I mean, we all are, aren't we? I mean, I can be really difficult. I know you can be really difficult, these people have told me. And so we can all be really difficult, can't we? And I think church life is, we preached on Ephesians 4 last week, a little bit of it, where it talks about, being completely humble and gentle. And then it talks about and patient and bearing with each other. I mean, why does Paul need to say to a church, be completely, I love that word, completely humble and gentle? I wish it said just occasionally humble and gentle. That would make it easier, but completely humble and gentle, being patient, bearing with one another. Isn't that wonderful? So Paul knows exactly what the human heart is like. He knows how difficult you are, and I am, and he knows, therefore, that church life sometimes will just simply be putting up with each other. That's wonderfully realistic, isn't it? And so, you know, I've been where we are for sort of 22 years, and people have been very kind to put up with me, and I've had to put up with a lot of things as well. Well, we love it. We rub along together. We see new people all the time. And we rejoice in that privilege of God's grace holding us together.
Fantastic. Well, sounds reasonably similar in ways to us as a church family as well, certainly. Yeah. I mean, you did tell me once about you sort of have a particular housing estate sort of across the road that you really struggle to
There is, and actually we've got more people coming from there at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been some help from we've had some people become Christians on that estate, which is great. But it is always difficult, isn't it? It was a bit the same when I worked in Bournemouth at a church. We can be pretty middle class sometimes by the way we do things. And I mean, let's face it, I'm not from a council estate. I can't be what I'm not.
You're posh.
Well, I'm not. Am I posh? I don't know. You work it out for yourself. It is difficult to work that through, isn't it? Because we must be in the place that we are. So we must fit into the community that we're part of. So our Sunday services are quite chaotic, and people come and go. That people come late and they leave early, and the kids are a nightmare.
You're not advocating this.
Well, I'm not advocating, but for those of us who are a bit tight and have grown up in quite tight things where everything is quite, it takes a while to get used to that. And not to be judgmental and self-righteous about it. And to help other people who are from those backgrounds, probably more like we are, to not be self-righteous. And why can't they come on time? And there's one girl comes, she's a single mum. She's got three children. Her husband left her, you know, pretty soon after they got married. Her life is utterly chaotic. And she comes 15 minutes late, and the kids are a bit of a nightmare. And one couple said to me once, why can't she just come on time? And I said, well, actually, if you knew her life, it's a miracle she comes at all. You know, she can't come. If she comes at all, it's great. Let's not be self-righteous and judgmental that she's not here on time. I'd love it if she came on time, but let's not be too harsh about these things. So it's working those things through, isn't it? As I'm sure you do all the time. Yeah.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Right? Well, hopefully that's given you a bit of an insight into Tim.
Is that my first talk?
No. Oh. As you can see, he's a stand-up comic as well. So hopefully, you know, and Tim's here throughout the day, he's here to serve us, I think. That's the idea. Do feel free to go and chat to him if you've got something, you know, in your life experience that resonates with that, and you'd love some advice from a vicar who's far older and wiser than I am, then do speak to Tim. I'm sure he'd love to chat. Don't just leave him, you know, as a Billy No Mates in the corner, certainly. But isn't it wonderful? Last week we were thinking, weren't we, as we sort of started this hop, skip and a jump through Romans of the gospel being the power of salvation that brings salvation to everyone who believes, get the new translation right. Isn't it wonderful to hear of that in Tim's life and in the life of his church family as well, as we know it, working amongst us and our church family too.